Good morning, millennials, and welcome back to The Toast. Happy Tuesday. Right? Yeah. Chag Pasei, Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.
Hopefully you're hearing this episode. It's really TBD because Ben Soffer used this studio before us, after us yesterday, before us today. I double checked that he made everything right.
It looks right. We're looking at it. We're doing like the classic checks. Looks good, but you never know with Ben. There could be a cord that was unplugged from the wall.
No, I know. And I do really believe we scared him straight. Like the last time, like the wrath of the toasters was so strong and so fierce that I think he literally didn't touch one thing yesterday, but I did all my checks, but
it could be something that you don't even see coming.
The smallest of things, you know, but let's just stay on alert the whole show.
We will. Things look good. Chag Sameach. Last night was first Seder. Happy Passover to all those celebrating.
Let me tell you, Passover is literally one of my favorite holidays. I kind of I never think of it.
It gets kind of a bad rap. You have to wait a long time to eat.
It gets a bad rap because the meals are hours long, like in prayer before you can actually eat. But it also gets a bad rap because it's 10 days where we're not allowed to eat bread. And that's hard for us,
you know? 10 days? Mm-hmm. It's not 8 days?
No, I think it's 10. Don't quote me on that, but I'm fairly certain it's 10.
Really?
Why would you say 8?
Like, I just saw it as 8 days.
That was like the number you had.
That's the number that like I associate. Hold
that's
on.
The number you grew up with?
We absolutely have to clear this up.
I'm pretty sure it's 10 where you can't eat any sort of leavened breads. Like basically no gluten. Also no corn. There's like a lot of annoying rules. And it's like all my favorite foods. Basically starches. Anything fattening you can't have. It's literally a 10 days long diet.
Outside of Israel, it's 8 days. In Israel, it's 7 days.
Oh my God, 8 days. Okay, it's literally not even that long. It's when you were a kid, oh my God, it felt like an eternity. And that's hard. So it gets a bad rap for sure. But I forgot how much I just love Pesach. First of all, like I do love matzah. And low-key, a big slice of matzah is only 3 points on Weight Watchers, which I was really shocked by. It's like really not bad.
That's very not anti-Semitic of Weight Watchers.
They're an ally.
I feel like they could have cranked it up, you know, to stifle matzah sales.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't instead, want to do that. Allyship.
Allyship. And like, it's a lot of prayers for sure. But, and I would love all my prayers. You know, I don't like to choose favorites. But the tunes that Pesach brings are so like pussy bopping. Like,
no, there are certified bops in the Haggadah.
Avadimainu hainu, atabene chorim, bene chorim. There's so many. I mean, my favorite one of all.
Yeah, but I like the way that song starts. So you come in at Malach HaHayam.
Malach HaHayam, like, do not even try. If you're at a Seder that's in attendance with me, like, and you think, oh, maybe I'll lead Malach, you won't.
Sit down, take several seats.
It's been in my family for generations. Everybody knows to just sort of like quiet down. Mm-hmm. And I always, always deliver. And you know, since I was a child, and speaking of my childhood, and I, for a, you know, a brief period in my life, like really thought I could be a chazan, which for those who don't know is like, when you go to a synagogue, there's like two men up there. One's the rabbi, one's the chazan, the singer, you know,
the cantor.
The cantor. He's like the lyrical sort of melodic part of the journey. And the sect of Judaism that we, you know, participate in actually does not allow women to be chazan. So it was kind of like a fruitless dream. But I've seen some chazans who kind of stink and I feel like they could use my leadership.
Usually they're really strong, though. I've not seen really stinky. It's really like music and lyrics. The chazan is the music, rabbi is
the lyrics. I love that.
Yeah.
So like, who is the Hugh Grant and who's the Drew Barrymore? The Hugh Grant is the chazan and Drew Barrymore is the rabbi.
She's lyrics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's music.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. So we just sang all night long. We ate. There was a kid's table. It was so cute. We're going to do it again tonight.
Two Seders.
I love Passover. Like, it's really one of my favorites.
Okay.
And the story.
Well, the story is timeless story about the oppression of the Jewish people. But this year, it seriously reads like a newspaper article from today.
No, it totally does.
It's eerie.
And I don't know. I feel like we don't talk enough about Passover, you know?
Yeah.
I'm having such a blast. And I'm able to sort of look past the lack of bread.
Yeah. It's not a big deal at the Passover Seder because there are so many other foods. And now with gluten-free, like life hack, Judaism hack, anything gluten-free is kosher for Passover. I just had a Go Macro bar. Gluten-free.
Amazing.
Didn't even have to get K4P.
Now, some people I feel like take it a little too far. Like they won't have fountain soda because it has corn syrup in it. And like, just no, I'm not personally that religious. Like I will be having fountain soda. Probably one today.
Yeah.
And I just think that's what God would want.
It's open for interpretation, much like a lot of Judaism.
But you know what's not up for interpretation? toastiness.
No, that is ironclad, as is Bruno, who's here again today being a handsome devil.
You look gorgeous. Thank you. Let's talk about that for a minute. I spent a lot of time with you in New York and now here, and I just feel like I'm getting a lot of physicality, you know, physical sort of energy from you. When I feel like a lot of our relationship, you know, thanks to you abandoning
we're
me.
We're pen pals.
Is virtual. Yeah, we are literally pen pals. Jackie's, you've just been looking so gorgeous lately. Like between the haircut, you're looking snatched. Like, I feel like you're feeling yourself. I'm really loving this sort of Jackessence.
Thank you so much. I told you guys when I stopped breastfeeding, like it would be over for you bitches. And I haven't even reached the end of my road. Maybe I'm halfway to
the feeling
end of
over.
Road. Like no, it's not over.
No, for these bitches.
Oh yeah. No, it's starting to be over. Run for cover. But as I progress on my journey, it's very exciting to feel better. And it's like, this is the lowest weight I've been in like a year and a half, but still not like my regular usual weight. So it's very exciting. Like I told you guys in February when you were here, like I'm going on a wellness journey and like I've been doing the work.
And tell me, like, what's your number one tip?
For the wellness journey?
Whether it be like an actual, you know, like, aid or just like something you tell yourself, something you feel, like what's been carrying you through?
Just like seeing like SVs and NSVs has been carrying me through, but it's those
scale
early
victories
days,
and non-scale victories.
It's those early days that are really hard. I've had a lot of great friends along the way. Taylor Farms, Sakara, Go Macro Kids Bars, Bear Bells, I want to say coffee, you know, just really kind of never sitting down because of my children, staying busy.
Well, I have been on a wellness journey here because I have not sat down for one mere moment unless it's to record the podcast. Being a mother is a physical job.
Yeah. So that's like just keeps me on my feet all day. I don't even have to work out.
Speaking of working out, I know we were talking
about. And if I want to work out, then I'll just take them in the stroller.
Literally.
Yeah.
Speaking of working out, I don't want to stop talking about you, but I just did want to just, you know, bring up a personal anecdote, if I may. We're 2 weeks away from the 5K. I've made enormous strides in my 5K journey. Like,
no
really.
No pun intended.
No pun intended. Yesterday, I pretty much ran 3 miles, 2.8. Okay, I'm getting there. Like, and I felt so good afterwards. I didn't feel like I needed to collapse. So while my overall time, when I ran the first 5K and I literally, like, seriously had to go to the hospital, what was it, like 42 minutes? And I did it here in your gym. I'll probably have a similar time. Maybe I'll shave a few minutes, but I will be able to go on with my day. Like I won't literally.
You'll be able to speak to people and network because don't forget, like the main goal of this is not for you to be in the best shape of your life. It's for networking.
Oh, right.
Yeah. You've lost sight.
I have completely lost sight of the 5K. I'm at a place
putting
now.
Putting your personal health and wellness above your job, your career and our business. Unacceptable.
I agree. I need to sort of like get my head screwed on straight.
And if they're walking, you're going to have to walk.
Oh, no.
If the big wigs are like in the back holding court, slow your ass down.
Yeah, I guess. But the thing is, the big wig, like I think the biggest wig showing up at the 5K, I believe is Joe Rogan. Mm-hmm. And you know he's not walking. It's literally going to be me and Joe at the front.
Oh, so you want to catch up to Joe.
I think everyone's literally going to be running after Joe.
Interesting.
Also, I feel like, I don't even know if I knew this or if I mentioned it, but like a bunch of podcasters, comedians, whatever are running it separately. It's also like a open to the public 5K, like an hour prior. So I feel like a lot of people have gone on this 5K journey with me. And if you live in the LA area, like feel free to sign up. And then you can, if you want to, like wait for me at the finish line and be like, dirty, yeah.
Or maybe you'll be waiting for them.
No, they run first.
So who's running second? Just famous people?
Yeah.
How many?
I'm not sure, actually. I hope it's like a decent amount because if it's very few, I feel like everyone's going to be looking at me.
And do they know that you're coming?
Yeah, of course. I spoke to Bert.
You spoke to Bert?
Oh, I spoke to Bert. Bert had graphics made for me. Like, please, I'm going. Oh, okay. They know.
Yeah.
And I think, like I said, Ben's coming with me and I asked Josh Peck to come with me too. And Josh Peck really knows these guys. And I feel like showing up with Josh Peck, like, it definitely like elevates my street cred. I'm definitely nervous about like the social element.
Yeah, I feel like you haven't been training as much for that.
No, I haven't. Because I was so focused on not embarrassing myself.
And I feel like we do need to reassess your goals for the 5K. Like if it is about health and fitness, great.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to know.
Yeah. Let me tell you what I've learned about running. Running outside is so intimidating. Like I did most of my 5K training up until about a week ago on the treadmill. And I was so afraid of running outside. I don't know what it was, like the elements, the people. I just wasn't sure. And just like, you know, at what point do I turn around? I don't know. I have spent so much time running outside these last like 10 days. It's so amazing. It's so much better. Like get off the treadmill if you can. I mean, I don't know what I'll be doing in New York. I don't think I'll want to like run the shitty streets, but it's so fabulous. Two, a playlist is everything. A playlist is really everything. It can kind of change the whole vibe. And three, just believe in yourself, you know? And I feel like I'm finally believing in myself and I'm really loving it. I'm such a runner. Yeah. So that's a little fitness update for me.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Today's World Book Day. What are you reading, Demon Copperhead?
It's World Book Day. What does that mean?
We're just like appreciating books more than usual, you know?
Okay.
Books are getting their shine today. There are a bunch of like fake days always.
National, yeah.
National Flower Day.
National Fashional.
National Bristle Streisel.
We should make our own National Day, National Beautification Committee Day, because those people deserve to be appreciated.
I'm sure there literally already is. But today's World Book Day, so we're just appreciating books. I've started an amazing book because, like we said, we went to Barnes & Noble, which was so amazing. Fun. I could have just picked up so many books, but it's like I like to read on my Kindle, so what am I going to do with these books? Anyways, I started the book that I bought from Barnes & Noble. It's called Sarina. And
whenever you say it, I think you're reading a book about Serena Williams. You're calling it Sarina? Oh, I'm like, Williams?
No, like Sarina, like the Tsar's wife. Feminine. Yeah, like princess in Russia. It's so good. The cover, the quote on the cover was by Daisy Goodwin, who wrote American Heiress and also the show Victoria. And she said, this book makes Game of Thrones look like a nursery rhyme.
Chilling.
Mic drop. And it kind of does. Like there's some crazy stuff.
Really?
And I'm only like 100 pages in, but it's really good. I haven't read like a historic, I haven't read really anything in so long. I only read for the redheads right now. But it's so nice to be back in the saddle.
I'm so glad. I'm in the saddle as well. My saddle, makes me want to jump off a cliff. Demon Copperhead is so good. It's so sad and it like keeps getting sadder. And it's just this like little kid just living in immense poverty who literally cannot catch a break, even in the slightest. He's hungry all the time. Nobody will adopt him. Like, I'm going to throw myself off a bridge. Does it, literally, if nothing good happens to this kid in the next like 50 pages, like I seriously don't know if I can finish it. It's so depressing. It's so heavy.
Yeah. It's so heavy. No one said like, it was going to be fun.
And he's just like this redheaded little boy. Like, it's just it's really making me upset.
Yeah. I didn't realize he's redheaded.
That's why they call him Copperhead.
That's not his last name?
No, that's like the name of the snakes that like live in the area and they're like red.
But I thought that was also his name.
No, Copperhead is like an insult. Oh, and then they did like this whole paragraph about, and I feel like I remembered you giving me this spiel that I'm about to say on the toast and like me literally not listening, about the word hillbilly. Mm-hmm. Like, I literally won't use it anymore. And yeah. Not that I like use it, but I definitely have said it like here and there.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
It was really upsetting.
Yeah. It was like a late night. He was watching something on late night and they said the word or something like that.
He loves the show Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah.
And someone like sort of like a kind of woke person in their community like explained like why the word, they're like laughing at you. And the people, like hillbillies, like for lack of a better word, have tried to sort of take it back and they compared it to like the black community's use of the N-word. But like it didn't work in that. They didn't do it.
People still use it and negatively. It's not like even thought to be offensive.
Yeah. And it was interesting.
Yeah.
But so much has happened in the book since then and it's just all so upsetting.
Yeah, it's an upsetting book.
But hopefully, I'm looking forward to flying home so people can see me reading it because I've just been reading it in your house, which is sort of like
useless.
It's useless. And then when I was reading it at the hotel in Miami, I was on my Kindle. So like literally nobody knows that I'm reading this book.
But that's why you have to use your platform to let people know.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I did make a viral TikTok / reel about it and it really kind of crushed. So actually millions of people do know.
That's so important.
Yeah,
millions. Because what's the point otherwise? Exactly. And when's your book club?
After the 5K. So I have time. My flight to LA, I'll make a lot. I feel like I'm like 20% in.
Yeah. And then once you get to like 50, the last half is always easier than the first half because you care.
Yeah, that's true.
Always.
And by the way, I care.
Like getting into a book is the hardest part.
She gripped me.
She gripped you.
I just can't believe I'm reading a Pulitzer Prize winning novel. So like I'm jogging, I'm Pulitzer Prize reading. It's so crazy like how sort of elevated I am and how far I've come.
How far you've come and how people can change.
Yeah. And you know, I was thinking this morning because I was making a coffee in your home and you use Truvia, right?
Stevia and the raw.
Literally same thing. Not Splenda, basically. Mm-hmm. And we were raised on Splenda, and it's just sort of who we are. And up until I would say, like, literally a month ago, I was a Splenda home as well. But another just sort of, like, thing I've changed is I'm, you know, using Truvia now.
You're not sprinkling chemicals into your everyday life.
I'm not.
In that way.
You know what really got me?
The thing is, I didn't stop using Splenda because of being, like, a clean, crunchy
cancer
lady. No, migraines. My doctor had told me, like, that doesn't help.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. I thought it was like a cleanliness thing.
No, it was a migraine thing, which does tie back to chemicals. But like when I was going through like, and that's not the reason I was getting migraines, but it surely wasn't helping.
Well, I love Splenda, but then I saw when I was like shopping that Splenda is starting to make Truvia. Yeah. Do you know that? Like Truvia and the Raw Splenda brand. And I was like, oh, even they're abandoning ship. Maybe I should too.
Yeah. And it's like there's space for all healthy sugar there substitutes.
Is. Except when me and Abe were at a diner like a couple of months ago, we were talking about, you know, when you're like so hungry, you have nothing to talk about. And the only thing at a diner on the table is like the packs of sugar.
Yeah.
We were talking about how like really these packs of sugars are so identifying. You know, when I think of a certain pack of sugar, like I'll think of a certain group of people or even like a certain culture. Like Sweet and Low is extremely Jewish.
Yeah, but I also. Equal
is not Jewish.
I feel like sugars, like they kind of have their moment and then they're debunked. Like for a time it was only Sweet and Low and then it was only Equal and then it was only Splenda. Now it's only Truvia or Stevia. And I do Stevia in the Raw because I'm just like on another level.
Of course.
But like what's next? It's very fleeting.
It is. It's fickle for sure. I like that. But
do and you know feel- what's always like been around, tried and true?
Domino.
Sugar.
Do you feel though the call about how like you can like picture the type of person who's picking up each pack?
Yeah, because like they were in their heyday when that was in their heyday. Like I'll probably always use Stevia in the Raw. Like that's gonna date me
at some point. But right now it's keeping you young.
Right, but like what are the kids using? Monk fruit?
You know what? I love that. You know what uses monk fruit? Spritz.
The kids are using monk fruit.
Natural. Yeah, that's right. Spritz.com. Oh, no. Spritz
and I'm left society. Behind already.
Yeah, you're already like getting dated.
So who knows what will be next? Sugar's like just constantly evolving, constantly changing, just like dirty.
I love that. So we've got a great show. Jax, tell me a little bit about the stories.
They're How good. Are they? Oh. They're like five stories that they could have been in any order. They're all equally important and unimportant.
I absolutely love that.
So it's very fair and balanced, I would say. Not weighted.
Not biased.
Well, we are biased.
Of course, we never said we weren't.
No, did we?
No.
Without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
And the Fast Five stories that you need to know are brought to you by Legacy Box. All right, Legacy Box is that company we get like the most questions about, always people DMing like, wait, what was the name of the company? So if you are looking for a safe and easy way to digitize your memories and analog media like VHS tapes, photos, and you don't have an easy way to watch those anymore, try Legacy Box. And with Mother's Day fast approaching, it is a great gift for the whole family. Relive moments like wedding days, first steps, the embarrassing haircut you had in the 90s. Reconnect with your family's history and hear your grandmother's voice again for the first time. The Legacy Box process is so easy. You send in your Legacy Box filled with old VHS tapes, camcorder tapes, pictures. Their team will professionally digitize everything by hand in the USA, and you will get it back on the cloud or on a thumb drive along with your originals. Legacy Box is able to digitize over 15 different types of analog media. So whether it's VHS tapes, super 8mm film reels, photo negatives, they've got you covered from start to finish. Also, what I didn't realize before doing Legacy Box is like if you have a box of stuff in an attic or in the basement, actually those can deteriorate, especially like VHS tapes, which is the era we grew up in, based on like, you know, especially if there's like a flood or if it's really humid or if it's really cold, it can really damage those memories. And especially with Mother's Day coming up, I think it's such a nice thing. It's a great gift, but then also you can spend the day with your mom watching those videos. We did Legacy Box and it was the best thing. Join over the 1.5 million families that have trusted Legacy Box with their memories. Go to legacybox.com/toast to save 60% during their Mother's Day sale. That's their best sale ever, 60% when you go to legacybox.com/toast, legacybox.com/TOAST. Today's episode is also brought to you by Delete Me. So have you or someone you know been the victim of identity theft? Have you been harassed, scammed, or just annoyed by spam and robocalls? I feel like we all have. It's getting worse. Privacy really matters, and your personal information really can be everywhere on the internet. You're a super easy target, but we can protect ourselves and get peace of mind with Delete Me. So Delete Me finds and removes any personal information you don't want online, and they make sure that it stays off. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal info from the largest people search databases on the web and in the process helps prevent potential identity theft, doxing, phishing scams. So sign up and give Delete Me the information that you want deleted and their experts will take it from there. They send you regular personalized privacy reports showing the information that they found, where they found it, and what they removed. It isn't just a one-time service. You really need to constantly have a program working for you, and that's what Delete Me does. They're always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information that you don't want on the internet. They do all the hard work of wiping you and your family's personal information off the web. So take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount for our listeners. Today, get 20% off Delete Me plans when you go to joindeleteme.com/toast and use the promo code toast at checkout. The only way to get that 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/toast. Enter code toast at checkout, J-O-I-N-D-E-L-E-T-E-M-E.com/toast. That's something worth doing. Just do it. This is your reminder. Today's episode is also brought to you by Cozy Earth. They offer bedding products that will transform the way you sleep. Cozy Earth bedding is a temperature regulating brand, which is a huge sleep benefit. Some people get really, really cold in their sleep. Personally, I'm a sweater, and there's nothing worse than like having to re-blow out your hair in the morning. It's also just superior softness. Their fabric is unparalleled. Their materials and their weave as well. They have great quality and longevity. All products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. So incorporating Cozy Earth products into your self-care routine can enhance your sleep quality and your overall wellness. Treat yourself to the ultimate in comfort and indulgence with Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear. Prioritize your self-care and your sleep health because you deserve it. So if you're worried about commitment, Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products. You can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of life. You know, whether you're a mother, I mean, could nights be longer? I wouldn't know, but that's what I hear. Incorporating Cozy Earth products into your self-care routine can really, really just enhance your life. And a recent survey found that 7 in 10 parents lose an average of 3 hours of sleep a night in their baby's first year. So any of the mothers listening, you deserve to have quality sleep. And we just know that Cozy Earth is the brand to do that. So discover the secret to better sleep with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Here's an exclusive Mother's Day offer just for our listeners. You'd use code TOAST for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Promo code TOAST for an exclusive 35% off at CozyEarth.com. Promo code TOAST.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our first story, a little more tortured poets news. Everyone is still processing, digesting the album, more thoughts, more Easter eggs.
More discoveries.
Discoveries, including Emma Stone was credited on the song Florida from the album. So Emma Stone has been credited for contributing, quote, oddities to Taylor's new album, The Tortured Poets Department. She released the...
Credits, track list and everything.
It's listed that she had, quote, oddities added to the track. No further information was provided about exactly what the double Oscar winner added to the final song.
The Swifties will figure it out. I feel like, and I'd be curious if, was Emma Stone like a credited for anything in the thanks or whatever on When Emma Falls in Love? Because that's like a song we know to be about Emma Stone. Because at first I was like, well, Emma Stone's obviously not singing. Maybe this message or the story in the song is inspired by something that happened to Emma and she's giving credit. But then she would have done that on When Emma Falls in Love. So no, maybe there's like, let me look up something else. You know, on London Boy, when at the very, very beginning, I think it's Idris Elba, she samples like something he said in a James Corden interview one time, go riding on me a scooter. Mm-hmm. Is he credited there? Like maybe it's something like that.
Or maybe like when they were shouting Florida in the studio, like she just like banged on a drum.
Okay, that's obviously it. Duh.
Right? That's because you have to also think it's not like she's credited in the credits. Like she's credited as oddities. So it's right. Something weird and
song
random.
Credits on London Boy.
Maybe she added some shouting.
Yeah, he's not on here. Idris Elba. So like,
It's interesting. Oddities.
That song, When Emma Falls in Love, is like literally one of my favorites. I also like love Emma Stone. I know it's not like a hot take or anything.
No.
She's just like kind of America's sweetheart, unproblematic queen, super talented, really gorgeous. La La Land, obviously. I just really like her.
Or maybe like when they were in the studio, like Emma went and got coffee or like brought cookies. Like, and so she's credited.
They do say, a person really just needs to be in the room to be put on the songwriting credits. It's like sort of the... in songwriting culture, you could have contributed like literally one word and you just stood in the room the entire time and they put you on there. And that's why they say like a lot of artists who don't write their own songs are just in the rooms where the songs are being written. So they put themselves as songwriters in the credits, but they're not, you know, really contributing to the songwriting process. I don't know. Especially because I feel like Taylor's like thing is her songwriting. And I think she's really proud that a lot of her albums have a ton of self-written music. And oftentimes, you know, the only other songwriters are like Jack Antonoff, who was obviously in the room as a producer, Aaron Dessner, things like that. So for her to just like, she's not willy-nilly with her songwriting credits.
Yeah. And it's not even like she got a songwriting credit. She got an oddities credit.
And also, what is that?
What is that? It could be anything. Probably some inside joke.
Okay.
Maybe like Emma contributed to like a funny, like odd line. Who knows?
Yeah, or maybe, you know, you have friends who like always say like kind of crazy things and then you start saying them too. Mm-hmm. And then maybe Taylor like started putting that in her song. She's like, why did I start saying this phrase? You know how I always say like literally. I got that from hanging out with Brian, you know? Like you just start talking like your friends. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's it. Maybe like, you know, when you get home from camp.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something
is
like that.
Is that oddities?
I don't know. The oddities is throwing me off.
Right. Well, congrats, grads. Does she still make money from it with her oddities?
Yes. Oh, that was also another thing that we didn't talk about with the TTPD album recap yesterday. Is I don't know where it came out, but it was a pretty like trusted source that Joe was a songwriter on a bunch of Taylor songs that are so popular. Like, he probably will never have to work again. How do you think that makes her feel?
Fine.
Okay.
Like, I think she's fine with him. Like, he doesn't deserve misery. And I think when she put him on the song, it's not like she was like a naive young first boyfriend, like didn't realize things could go wrong. I think she recognized, like, even if we don't work out, he'll make money from this. Okay.
Yeah.
Especially if he did help her.
Yeah, yeah. And contributed, really. It wasn't like a handout for her. It'd be like, you want to come, right?
Right. Or I'll put you on one song. You can make money for the rest of your life.
Right. It is giving like a little charity. You know, he's obviously like, he's not like the most famous actor.
No, but if he helped, like if he wrote, like you work said, is work. If he was in the room, he was in the room.
Work is work. You know what else I was thinking about?
If it really bothered her, I feel like she would stop performing those songs.
Kind of how she like, or she would like re-record them. Yeah. Like the re-recordings. Yeah. But like, you can't live like that.
No.
You can't live like that.
But she does.
Re-recording every time someone from like your previous life, just so they don't benefit. Like the Scooter thing is obviously different, but like, no, she can't re-record all of Joe's songs and like change the
lyrics. How many are there, would you guess?
Look it up. William Bowery, like songwriting credits. There's a bunch, and it's really from her most popular like Folklore. William Bowery.
And like, she was at home during COVID with him. Like,
right.
I think he might have been helping.
Every song Taylor Swift co-wrote with ex-boyfriend Joe Alwyn. Ready? Thank you, Us Weekly, for doing the work. Exile, which is the Bon Iver one. Betty.
Yeah.
Champagne Problems. I mean, literally one of Taylor's biggest songs. Coney Island, Evermore, and Sweet Nothing. It's significant.
Yeah. I think he did significant. I'm sure he actually
he did significant
helped.
Work. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they were home alone, like writing songs together maybe. And That's not the most surprising thing. He seems artistic.
Yeah.
A tortured poet also.
And we always say that like people who act like are theater nerds. So they all have like songwriting and singing abilities.
Yeah.
So our
you
friend.
You can't hold on to everything. I think that's something that she's, if she had, like, I think that she's made peace with. And if she hasn't, like, she absolutely has
no,
to.
You're right. You can't hold on to everything.
Yeah.
And she's holding on to a few things.
She holds on to a few things and no one's taking them away from her.
No, like the Kim, the Scott Borchetta / Scooter Braun. Like, those are things she's not letting go. Those are her Roman empires. And you're right. And especially the fact that, like, the album didn't seem to drag Joe
no,
deeply.
It was more sad Joe.
It was respectful, I think, for the most part. Also, I listened to a little bit more music today. I listened to the song Cassandra, which people say is also about the Kardashians. And I listened to the song Peter, which I really love. They say it's like a Cardigan sort of sequel. And it's clearly about Maddie Healy. And it's all about, you know, never growing up. And she met Maddie. It says he was 25. And it was so clearly that they were right for each other. But they both needed to grow up. And then he came back and he wasn't grown up. Whatever. And Kristen, our friend Kristen, posted on her Instagram that there are two songs that Taylor has written that are like, that name significant people in her life. Her husband's name is Peter, and Willow, that was the name of their dog. Now, Willow, the song came out first, and then she liked the name, whatever. And I was so jealous, like, ugh, oh my God. There are a few things like that. The song, Olivia Autry, doesn't even know how lucky she is. Something like Olivia, John Mayer, and then Olivia, One Direction. There's no Claudia songs. What I had growing up was Gloria Estefan, calling Gloria, and we used to sing, calling Claudia. That's all I have, and it's not even good. Like, I was so jealous when she posted that. Like, my two boys, I was like, oh, bitch.
So you wish that Cassandra was called Claudia?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying.
And there was also, like, Sam and Chloe and
Marcus and Amy, Sophia.
So, like, those are five names that, and you didn't make it.
Yeah, no. Like, yeah. Is your name in anything? Or, like, Zach's name or your kids' names? Like, anything that you think and it makes you think, like, you know?
In songs?
Yeah.
Not in songs. No, but I'll see like Harry and Charles, like in the.
No, you'll see it in life.
I'll see like a headline like Charles and Harry feuding.
Well, of course.
But what's so funny is I never think like, oh my God, that's my, like they're so, even when we talk about like Prince Harry all the time, I have to remember like, oh, that's my son's name.
When I think of Prince Harry, I do also think of your son. When we talk about Charles, first of all, is Charlie's real name Charles? Yeah. We've literally never called him that once, and nobody calls King Charles Charlie.
Yeah.
The two couldn't be more different.
Yeah.
But Harry, yes, I do think
no,
of
but like
Prince.
Technically, I'm always reading their names.
Yeah. But yeah. Like, I just saw that Kristen posted that, and I was just wanting to come and, you know, I...
Be the green-eyed monster.
And I feel like I just come on the show and talk about things that other people have that I'm jealous of, and that's one of them.
Okay.
And I feel like there's a lot of songs, like, that have like random names in them and people just like get to have that. And that's like their song.
Well, I feel like it's never too late. You know, she could put out her next album and there could be a Claudia.
Claudia is also a hard
It's name. A lot of syllables.
It's a lot of syllables. What the hell rhymes with Claudia?
Oh, you know who has a song called Claudia?
Who?
Phineas.
You're lying.
You want to listen?
No, I don't want to listen to it because I'm not getting demonetized for that annoying like fuck. Ugh. But I guess that makes sense that it's his girlfriend's
but
name.
But it's funny when you search Claudia on Spotify, like it's all you. But that's good too.
Oh, wait.
You have ISEO.
Wait, nobody write a song. Nobody write a song. So
first the toast, then Claudia Ashery, the artist. But do you think
Spotify is like, is using your data?
Yeah. I don't listen to the toast on Spotify. I guess I go for sometimes the episode link, but.
No, your data's fucked. But I like the theory and that's sort of, you know, no, but looking Claudia, at the glass half full.
Nothing here is really bigger than you.
Yeah, I don't know what you would search in like a media platform like Spotify that would come up before me.
No, nothing.
All right, I changed what I said. Nobody write anything with my name in it. Mm-hmm. So I will continue to, you know, dominate search results.
All the podcasts you've guessed it on, everything is coming up Turdy Lou when you search Claudia. So, take a negative, make it a positive.
That's what I love about you. You're POV on life is always just leaning towards the positive. And look, here I was like lamenting being jealous and green and ugly. No, and you're over there being
like,
beautiful.
You want to be like everyone else with a common name.
Oh, so true.
No, she's one of a kind. Meanwhile, Bruno has a song about him. We don't talk about Bruno,
And Bruno also is like, oh my God, we never even spoke about it. Did you see the story that came out about Bruno Mars?
No.
That he allegedly is in like insane gambling debt and he owes like MGM or one of those Wynn maybe Vegas properties $50 million.
I don't like that.
I don't like that either, but it does kind of track. I feel like I've heard like for
years. Well, then wouldn't he be working more? Wouldn't he get a residency at wherever he owes them money and says, I'll work it off?
So I thought the same thing, by the way, but he is working, by the way. He's on like this global tour, like literally milking 24 karat magic for all it's worth. And that's why we haven't seen him here in the States and he's not been releasing new music. I think he's working on paying off his debts. But I thought the same thing about literally parking his ass at a residency and being able to work off your debts.
Yeah.
What would they pay Bruno Mars for a residency? A lot.
Yeah. And we would benefit.
Because now it also got me thinking, because I don't know what made me think about Bruno Mars the other day, but I was thinking about how like Taylor Swift is so big and I was thinking who's on her level. Mm-hmm. And Bruno Mars for a time, oh my God, you couldn't touch him. And he is so supremely talented in every element. He's really the definition of a triple threat. So he writes his own songs and he's so talented. The dancing, the actual voice, the performing, he's really can fire on all cylinders. And I was like, where in the world is Bruno Mars? And then people let me know that he's, you know, dodging a gambling debt.
Wow, Bruno. Bruno hopefully, is his namesake.
Oh, hopefully ooh. Bruno doesn't sort of follow in that negative, like let that be his role model.
No, Bruno's fatal flaw is that he'll spend it all on Magnolia.
That is a fatal flaw.
Yeah. And he also invested in crypto and he lost it all.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that about Bruno. Yeah. I'm definitely looking at him differently.
Yeah. No, he was trying to like save so he could start a life with Magnolia, get a house. And then like he was in FTX. Sam Bankman-Fried took it all.
Got it. Yikes. Yeah.
Bruno's like in a class action lawsuit. It's a mess.
It is a mess. I also heard he was like an early investor in WeWork. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, because he just loves community.
But also, I feel like we can't only talk about Bruno's bad investments. He was obviously one of the first people at Facebook, which was huge for him. And that's how he bought this house.
Yeah, it's true.
And that was amazing.
But
and we're really proud of him.
He's had some tough losses.
Who hasn't?
And that's why he's now back working on the show after retirement.
Let me ask you a question. What's the worst financial decision you've ever made?
Oh, the one that last week.
That you're currently working through. Yeah.
The one that I'm currently working through.
Let me think. What was the worst financial decision I ever made? Like money down the drain. I don't know. I feel like everybody has like a Roman Empire finance version.
Yeah.
Things they wish they either never purchased, invested in. I'm not sure. I'll have to think about it. It definitely exists.
Yeah, mine was just last week.
Yours is just recent, so it's fresh.
Oh, it's fresh. Oh, yes. Are you ready?
Some lessons need to be learned the hard way. I am ready. What number is this?
Two. Oh. Like, you must be. Chris Pratt and Katherine Schwarzenegger are facing backlash for demolishing a historic LA home.
Oh, I heard about this.
Chris Pratt and Katherine Schwarzenegger are under fire for razing an architecturally significant house they purchased last year, according to the Robb Report. The couple bought the Zimmerman House in LA's Brentwood neighborhood off market for $12.5 million in January 2023. Shortly after they demolished the mid-century building designed by esteemed mid-century architect Craig Elwood and began construction on a new home for themselves. The previous owners were Sam Rolfe, the co-creator of classic TV shows The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and Have Gun, Will Travel.
The Man from Yet U.N.C.L.E.?
Yeah, and his wife Hilda. Chris and Catherine reportedly were drawn to the property for its proximity to a home by her mom. Mm. A post on the LA Conservancy's Instagram account describes the 1950s Zimmerman house as a noteworthy example of modernist design from this era, adding that the house was identified as potentially historic, but no protections were currently afforded. Permit records obtained by the Robb Report reportedly show that the new house is being built and its place is designed by LA architect Ken Unger, known for his modern farmhouse style mansions.
It's going to be like another cookie cutter, like whatever.
Yeah. But people are big mad.
The thing is, like, they bought it. Like, they can do what they want. And, like, it's unfortunate. Would it have been better if the person who bought it had a deep admiration and respect for this architect who I never heard of? Yes, that would be lovely. But that's not the way the world works. It wasn't significant enough to get landmark status. And you know what? People are allowed to do what they want with things they spent $12 million on.
No, totally. I feel like people are going to be mad at these two no matter what they do. But so many things are landmarked and are protected that it's not like out of the realm of possibility that this could have been a contender, but it's not. And like, leave them alone. This LA Conservancy, like blowing up their spot, then why didn't you landmark it then?
No, you buy it. You care so much.
You buy it and save it and keep it old and fresh.
Yeah, I'm not going to be mad at these two. Not also to be so mean, and I also don't know a lot about architecture, but I've heard of the greats, you know? I haven't heard of, what was his name, Robb?
Frank. Craig Elwood. No, and like Craig Elwood built other homes. Like, go find them and bother them.
Yeah, no, I'm not caring.
Yeah, I feel like I always wind up like defending like Chris Pratter. And it's like not even like I have a dog in this fight, but like the way people will reach.
Yeah, they get hate. Too.
They get so much hate. They literally cannot take one step without being like, but you didn't take that step with Anna Faris.
Yeah, no, it all goes back to Anna Faris because, and also like people perceiving like one time that he slighted their child.
But he didn't.
If you read the facts, he didn't slight their child and the child's health.
Like he didn't and he would never. Like people are insane to even think that.
I do think in real life, Chris Pratt is a dick. Like I think he's like one of those, you know, formerly fat, turned hot movie star. Like he's an asshole.
Don't think formerly fat keeps him real?
No, actually. I think like formerly fat who then like become Marvel, like it's a really toxic pipeline. I think somebody interviewed him once, or maybe I'm getting that confused with Miles Teller, and just basically said he was like an asshole. And I'm sure he is like just a Hollywood asshole, but like he's still allowed to, you know, buy a house and build it.
Where do you get that vibe from? Like from?
I don't know where I get that vibe from. I'm trying to originate
lines
the vibe.
Or things you've heard or you met him or just like that's what people say about him.
I don't know. I've never met him.
I feel like Chris Pratt's misunderstood.
Oh, wow. Okay. The misunderstanding of Christopher
Especially
Pratt.
Especially because like Katherine Schwarzenegger seems like the loveliest person.
Yeah. She seems like really down to earth, organic
like,
girl.
Like so, so sweet.
Yeah. That like she had, you know.
She's like giving him her Catherine stamp of approval. That means something.
That's true. But I also think regarding to this one particular story, you know, where do we draw the line?
Yeah.
Everything is a part of history. Everything ever built.
No, and like they tear down actually like culturally significant places all the time. I mean, the old Penn Station, you know?
I do.
So why this random house? And seriously, what would they do with this house if they kept, like, if they don't want to live in a house that style, that's their prerogative, but say they couldn't buy the house because it was a landmark, blah, blah, blah. Then what would it be? Just like a house that sits there?
The house that built me.
The world moves on. And you know, like I appreciate and respect history. So you can't even say that about me.
No, and like who's to say, you know, everyone's childhood home gets razed, if you will. And that's a part of history. My personal history.
Right.
We could.
It's all very subjective. Right.
So I don't care. That's just kind of my thesis.
Yeah. No, and I just don't think this is like a big crime.
Agreed. Now, if it was a Frank Lloyd Wright home, but that one would already be protected.
Are all Frank Lloyd Wright homes protected?
Either they are in like an official capacity or culturally. Like no, literally, absolutely no one. Only, you know, from a financial point of view, if you don't even give a shit about architecture, you would never destroy a Frank Lloyd. You could sell a piece of shit on the corner for $10 million. So you're not stupid. Now, I don't know if like in the government that's done, but it hasn't been done because no one's stupid.
Yeah. Well, our next story, the celebs are beefing. David Beckham sues Mark Wahlberg's company.
I heard this, but I don't know the details.
So two fitness titans are on a path to square off in court because David Beckham has sued Mark Wahlberg's company over a fitness deal that made the former soccer star way lighter in the wallet. Beckham's company, DB Ventures, alleges in the lawsuit that F45 duped him into signing on with F45 Training, a company in which Wahlberg has 36% interest. Mark Wahlberg also serves as the company's chief brand officer. Beckham, who got close to Mark when he moved to California to play for the LA Galaxy, became F45's global ambassador. You know, David has millions of social media followers, so presumably it would expand the company, yada,
yada. And what kind of company is it? Like athleisure?
F45 Training.
So it's like a fitness company.
Yeah, like the equipment looks like F45 branded.
Oh, like Nordic Track Energy.
Yeah, it might be bigger than that.
Okay.
But that's what I'm seeing based on the pictures.
Nordic Track is huge, by the way.
Well, things didn't work out. Beckham says he never got the $10 million he was promised. This was after the company's stock tanked, by the way. And now the posts have been deleted that he had, like,
of course,
posted. But F45 asked the judge to throw out the lawsuit, calling it fraudulent. But the judge said the case will move on.
What was their reasoning for getting it thrown out? Did you pay him? Oh, my God, the boys are fighting.
But I also feel like the company is defunct now.
Yeah, of course, they can't pay him.
But, like, David Beckham's a businessman. I feel like you get paid at least a percentage before you start doing the work.
Yeah. And he would have done his research. Like, $10 million is a lot of money from a company you've never heard of. So you would do your due diligence before signing, being like, can this company afford me?
Yeah.
Interessant.
So awkward. That's a friendship killer.
It is. It is. And these two, I feel, run in similar, like, circles. They're very A-list. They're very Hollywood. They're very, like, older man.
Yeah.
Very athletic. I feel like they both go to a lot of sporting events. Like, they would be seated next to each other at, like, a, you know, basketball playoff game.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. I stand with David Beckham because, you know, they can never make me hate him.
No.
And it sounds like he's a victim.
Yeah. Mark Wahlberg's good, too.
I like Mark Wahlberg. He doesn't bother me. And I find him handsome. And Ted is, like, one of my favorite movies. And I really have no issue with him. And that picture of him when he was young in the Calvin Klein ad, like, I enjoy.
But you stand with David.
Oh. And honestly, when Mark Wahlberg, like, did that whole PR thing where he told everyone his morning routine, it was really crazy. It was really crazy to get up at 3 a.m., work out, pray, have breakfast, take a shower, work out again, and then, like, it was really so nutty. Honestly, we're not for each other.
I respect it, though.
I respect it. I don't like it, but I respect it.
Yeah, like, nice if you can do it.
No, and it's just, like, really nobody needs that. Like, nobody. Especially, he's not even, like, a professional athlete. Like, he's, like, an out-of-work actor, you know?
Yeah.
And I understand caring about health and fitness and yourself.
Right.
And, like, of course, but, like, to an extent.
Yeah. Well, are you ready for our next story? Yeah. Number four.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Sorry. No. Is it our, oh, my God. I'm so flustered. You totally caught me off guard.
Her curds.
Is it the next story that's brought to you by the Skylight Frame?
Yes, it is.
And the Skylight Calendar. The perfect gift for busy moms who love organization. So give mom some peace of mind this Mother's Day. Listen, you know Skylight Frames, one of our favorite brands, a sponsor for a while, the digital photo frame that everybody loves. Well, they have a new product, the Skylight Calendar. Running a busy household can be pure chaos and stressful for the whole family. Who has what when? What's for dinner? Who needs to be picked up? What do we need from the grocery store? Did someone feed the dog? The mental load can be hard to keep on top of, but there's a way to make it all easier for mom and for the entire family, the Skylight Calendar. Personal anecdotes like, you know, pick up Bruno from the dog walker. Things that, like, just kind of fall beneath the wayside and slip through the cracks. Or, you know, you don't write down what you needed from the grocery store. It could be chaos. And, you know, I'm living with a mother. I'm seeing it. She's doing her best. The Skylight Calendar is perfect. And with Mother's Day coming up, like, be thoughtful. You know, it's a great gift. And then you'll also be like, oh, wow, mom really knows it. Like, I care about her. It's super easy to set up and use. It syncs from existing family calendars, including Google, Apple, and Outlook. So if you've already started, you can just move it over. You can also add events directly using the touchscreen or free with the Skylight mobile app. You can update to linked calendars that will automatically appear in the Skylight Calendar at home. So no more constant reminders, no more forgetting stuff. It's available in two sizes, 10 and 15 inches. It's wall mountable, the 15 inches. And as a special limited time offer for our listeners, you can get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/toast. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/toast. Mother's Day is coming right up, so order today to get 15% off at skylightcal.com/toast. This podcast is also sponsored by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. So whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything. From products to content to time, all in one place and all on your terms. So get a website. It's the 21st century and, you know, whatever you do for a living, whether you're like an artist, a photographer, a videographer, somebody who needs to showcase, a graphic designer, showcase their artwork online in like a portfolio to get business, that's a great reason for having a website. If you work in e-commerce or you want to start a side hustle in e-commerce, Squarespace is an amazing place to start. They have so many amazing features. You can sell custom merch, easily sell custom merch and create passive income streams that engage your audience and scale your brand. You can design your products and production inventory and shipping are all handled for you, saving you time and money. You can also upload, organize, and access all your content from one place. With the new asset library, you're able to manage all of your files from one central hub and use them across the Squarespace platform. Squarespace also has the tools that you need to create and sell your own online courses. So start a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor. Create engaging content your audience will love, and then simply add a paywall to set the price. You can charge a one-time fee, sell subscriptions. You can basically turn your creativity into income with the Squarespace courses. So head to squarespace.com/toast to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain using code TOAST. That's squarespace.com/TOAST.
Thank you, Turtle.
You're welcome.
Our next story, Alec Baldwin smacks the phone out of an anti-Israel agitator who demanded he say free Palestine in a coffee shop. So Alec Baldwin was caught on camera in a coffee shop in New York City yesterday. And there is an agitator who's repeatedly demanding that he say free Palestine in the coffee shop. So they continue to follow him around the store. He asks the person to leave. He holds the door open. He says, the person
he's being harassed.
Can you say free Palestine? He doesn't answer. They say, can you say fuck Israel? Can you say fuck Zionism? And then Alec Baldwin smacks the phone out of the hand.
So they could never make me hate David Beckham. But they, I thought, could never make me like Alec Baldwin. But here comes a mentally ill pro-Palestinian, I don't even know what to call.
Agitator. Harasser, terrorist sympathizer. There's a lot.
And here I am, standing Alec Baldwin. And they say, like, Alec Baldwin is, like, crazy and whatever. I thought he was so measured. And
yeah,
he let that mentally ill person harass him for minutes before he slapped the phone out of her. And honestly, you couldn't torture me like that for less than 3 seconds without me slapping you. So I have to say, he felt like he's really gotten his temper under control.
Cool, calm, and collected.
And honestly, I didn't know where the video was going. I was watching the video and they were like, wait till the end, wait till the end. And I'm like, oh my God, he's letting this person just attack and torture. And oh, it was just, it's such a fabulous video to watch.
Yeah, really a beautiful moment. I mean, these people who have just...
oh, they've really gotten so out of control.
They've gotten so out of control. This is actually small potatoes compared to what they're doing on college campuses, yeah, shutting down highways, bridges, airports, and with all of their like terrorist supporting rhetoric. I don't want to spoil the ending for you guys, but these are not the good guys.
No, and for real, like anyone who's running around a college campus is like waving a Hamas flag. The FBI, like these are domestic terrorists.
No, but they get suspended and now they're already reinstated back on campus. Columbia had to shut down all in-person classes and now they've moved to a remote schedule till the end of the semester because like terrorists have literally overrun their campus. It's the most insane thing.
It is so crazy. And my favorite, like there's so many subplots going on. But obviously everyone's talking about what's going on at Columbia University. We're like, they took to the middle of campus, they pitched tents and they're like, we're not leaving until Columbia stops aiding and abetting the genocide, which is so not, I can't even get into it. But a bunch of, you know, these domestic terrorists were arrested, these college students. And because they were arrested, they lost, you know, their campus housing or whatever. Ilhan Omar, who's like a congresswoman, her daughter is like, I'm homeless. I'm like, your mom's a congresswoman, you'll be completely fine. But one of the students who was arrested, and it's all these like, I mean, who goes to Columbia University? It's $90,000 a year. It's these really privileged morons. And the names of the students who have been arrested for being terrorists have been released. And one of them is this girl whose dad is like a major, major executive at UPS. She lives in like a $3 million home in Atlanta. She's oppressed. And she's also a murderer. Like it was so crazy. So there's just, people are doing, you know, deep dives on who these kids are. They obviously are radicalized and they should be put on some sort of watch list. And so somebody did like the smallest bit of research on this UPS girl. Her name is Isabel. And she literally murdered two people when she was 16. She like veered her car in the middle of the road and killed this elderly couple. Her punishment was a $200 fine and she like literally moved on with her life. She went how do you get into Colombia when you've killed two people? Like, it's the craziest thing.
How are you not in jail?
And the family of this elderly couple is now speaking out because they're like, finally, people are talking about our grandparents were killed. And they were like, this family's disgusting. They've literally shown no remorse. This girl went on with her life. And you know what? I've literally never lived for like any story other than this girl who like, I'm oppressed. I live in a $3 million home and my parents spent $90,000 a year to send me to this idiotic university. And I've killed two people. That was the plot twist. I personally wasn't. I did not see that coming.
No, it's absolutely wild. Covering their faces. These are actual terrorist sympathizers. By the
way, covering their faces. Stumping
for terrorism. They're not even trying to hide it.
No, they are trying to hide it because they're literally
hiding their faces. But the things that they're saying.
Of course.
Like, kill Tel Aviv, kill the Jews, kill the Zionists. Like, it's all out there. Like, if you. No. It's good and evil. We tried to tell you guys.
You know who else used to cover their faces at their rallies and protests? The KKK. Like,
yeah.
I can't. I do kind of, like, obviously what's happening is so scary, but it's so insane. And I do feel like people are really, like, seeing the movement for what it is, which is a pro-terror movement. And I am enjoying it. I can't lie. Like, not that it's good, you know, that you know, Jewish students are literally being told to go home.
Yeah, they're told that it's not safe for them on campus. They have to go home.
But, like, it's so crazy. Like, the world needs to see this.
And also, people are seeing, like, what's been going on college campuses. Like, these people have been radicalized and indoctrinated while they've been there. They're now professors. Jewish donors are pulling their money, like, thanks, Robert Kraft. You're a little late.
Yeah, no, I was surprised that Robert Kraft pulled his funding. Not because he shouldn't have, but because who is still donating to these terror factories?
And also, it's like, and it's nice that you made your announcement. You must be really proud. But now we think you're like a clown. Like, you should have done it quietly because now we're realizing you've been donating like this whole time since October 7th, like still donating.
Right. No, the college campuses have been really bad for a while. So a lot of people pulled their money months ago, which I thought was even too late. But yeah, of course,
because it's been happening still for years.
Right. And Robert Kraft has been like really good. And, you know, he's like a huge supporter of Israel and he's like a great Jew and very philanthropic. And he was the one who started the organization Stop Jewish Hate. Like, or Stop Antisemitism, one of those.
The blue box.
Blue square. So he's obviously someone who's klug, you know?
No, that was really crazy and surprising.
But he's not the problem here.
Better late than never.
Yeah.
But you're really late.
So.
And he's not the problem here, but it's all part of one big problem.
Oh, we've got Alec a Baldwin. Big problem.
Alec Baldwin, Queenie Obsessed. Of the Week.
Queenie of the Week. I agree.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
I am.
Kim Kardashian went on Jimmy Kimmel Live, clearing up some rumors about herself and acting, you know, like the sun is shining, which I think for her, it is shining.
Okay.
You think?
No. I think that her life remains unaffected.
You think Amy got her down?
No, not at all. But I do find, and I think these things are pre-scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have done an interview like on release week because not being asked about it when it's the one thing people are talking about is so obvious that if she didn't do any interviews, no one would think anything of it.
For sure. But she is promoting American Horror Story.
Okay.
That she's doing.
Okay.
And they did a segment of like true or false things that people think about her, whether or not they're true.
Okay. What were they?
Is it true that you put your blow dry your jewelry before you put it on? She said yes, because it's cold.
That's like not crazy.
You have someone take the Starbucks sleeve off your coffee because you hate the sound of cardboard. Yes. The sound of cardboard.
Okay.
She also revealed that she sleeps with her eyes slightly open. She washes her feet before bed every night, and she celebrated her 14th birthday at Neverland Ranch.
Yikes. Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah.
Okay, but the feet washing thing I kind of get.
No, it's pretty smart.
Yeah.
I mean, they put their shoes on their bed.
Right. I wear socks and slippers around my house. So like, but if I ever feel like my feet have like crumbs on them or whatever, I will like do a rinse.
Oh, I don't, but it's a nice idea.
Also, if you just shower before bed, which I usually do, it solves the problem.
That is what I do.
Maybe she's a morning showerer though.
Oh, for sure. Because she works out in the morning for sure.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like for us, it's like, oh my gosh, what's Kim thinking? What's Kim thinking? But I think for Kim, it's like, oh my God, that crazy girl is still obsessed with me.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think? I think she's like sending it to her friends like, oh my God.
Okay.
Get over it.
I'm
sounding just like that.
I might have. If it weren't for that one Watch What Happens Live interview where she was asked about it and she was like, no, I've moved on from that. Like, it was clear like she didn't understand, like it wasn't her saga to move on from. And I do feel like, not that it bothered her in any way, but I think it made its way across her desk and she was like, oh damn, like this thing is not getting swept under the rug like I thought it was.
But she just mentioned it in Time also. So Kim knows like Taylor is still mad. And I think to like give her a song and to capitalize her name, like I think to Kim, like being in Kim's position, who's over it, is like, oh my God, this girl is crazy.
Perhaps, yes. But also, you can't deny currently the, oh, I wanted to talk about something. Mm. The New York Times. Mm-hmm. So they wrote a big review on TTPD and it was slanderous. Like it was not positive. It was like this kind of a big deal. This major publication doing like a really negative article on Taylor, and they had to issue a correction because the entire article, they called her album The Tortured Poets Society.
Relatable.
And honestly.
But like unacceptable?
Unacceptable. Like.
But inevitable?
And are we supposed to be taking this company seriously?
No, but it's like you literally, you can't even get the name of the album right.
Right, right.
Like you're the New York Times. You guys have like fact checkers and everything. We're just like spewing out stuff live on our show.
Right, right.
And we've gotten it right at this point.
No, and we got it wrong, but we knew we were
no,
wrong.
No, and we were doing it like we were having fun.
Right.
But you know, they don't care. They don't care much for facts. It's actually impressive that they issued a correction.
Correct. Correct. I just thought that was funny and worth mentioning. Oh, speaking of, Margo and I, while we're here, are going to sit down and do a full TTPD episode. It'll be video and audio, and we're just going to like chit-chat about our favorite songs, some theories. So I posted in the Facebook group, I'm like, me and Margo are going to do an episode. If you have any questions or things you want to hear, theories, whatever. And every single comment and question is about different theories. Have you heard of the Red Cross theory? I seriously, I'm not getting into it. And I didn't even realize, and I'm like deep in the Swiftie lore, how not into it I am.
What's the Red Cross theory?
I don't know. What do you think about the prequel, sequel, antiquel?
And
also, I guess, I thought I knew. I know nothing.
I'm still on like TTPD 101. I know people are like on their senior year.
Yeah.
Then they're saying like some songs are sister songs of songs from other albums, or like she sampled some yes. songs and they go together. Again, I'm still on 101. We're yeah. just learning the basics.
Did she sample
her own songs?
Yes, I think Death by a Thousand Cuts is sampled.
Is Mad Woman reference? Because there was a song when I was listening, I was like, this feels like Mad Woman's sister song.
Maybe, I don't know.
I could see how you guys, it's a slippery slope.
There's a lot to keep up with. And honestly, I thought I was doing a decent job, but I'm not. So I feel like if you're looking for like a full breakdown on theories, that's not what this episode's going to be. We're just going to be like talking about our girl, you know?
Oh, okay.
Like the theories are so crazy. Like I know a few. Cardigan Peter. Like, and I actually believe that one. Cause that's like not, it's not a theory. It's just, it makes sense. Yeah. There's a fluid, like there's a string between the two songs. Some of these theories, you guys, I'm not getting into it. Like I'm really not. It's really, it's crazy.
And who's Clara Bow?
I don't know. Like I really don't know.
Like she's a person from history, right?
Yes, yes.
She just reminds me of Goofy's girlfriend, Clara Bow.
Okay, mom.
Yeah, no, that's literally what it's giving.
So,
and it's also reminding me of like, I don't know, I guess that's like, I feel like singing Clara Bow.
Scared to death. Jackie? I was going to make that joke like when you said Clara Bow, but I'm like, no one's going to know what I'm talking about. Jackie, we have the same brain.
Why do I think that?
Clara Beth is scared to death to hear what the doctor will say. And she hasn't been well since the day that she fell. And the bruise, it just won't go away. There used to be a time where like I would literally hear that song and start crying. It's so sad.
It's so sad. I know her version.
The cancer song.
I know Clara Bow TV is probably really strong, but it's just never going to be better than Clara Bell RF.
Agreed.
RFV.
So that is our show. Happy Tuesday. Happy Passover. We're back tomorrow. Hope everybody has an amazing day. Thank you so much for listening to The Toast. The Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast and our podcast can be found on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where business and podcasts find us. The Toast, leave a 5-star beautiful. How stunning. How wickedly talented we are.
Love ya. Bye.